side along that stream, the Redeemer. He does this, read a couple of scriptures from Hebrews and Ephesians and Colossians. For the law, since it was only a shadow of the good things to come, not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices year by year, which they continually offer and make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, will they have not ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had the consciousness of sins. It's an amazing chapter about the Lord coming to set us free through his perfect sacrifice from a consciousness of sins. It says about Jesus, and I think it's chapter 1, verse 20, in Matthew, and the angel comes to explain to Joseph what's going on with Mary. And he says, he's come to save people from their sins. Every one of us, because of the fall, were born with our flesh, our humanity, that which makes up our human person. There's unfortunately in that human person a virus called the law of sin. It's a demonic and supernatural virus, and it's the instrument the enemy uses to kill, steal, and destroy. And the whole pursuit of the cross was a rescue to set us free from this demonic virus that lives in our members and controlling us. Now, this body still needs to be redeemed. The virus is still there, but there's now one living in me that I'm in union with that is more powerful than the virus. It's just like any kind of antidote. As long as I abide in him, the virus stays still. But I'm not, the virus rises up. But he's stronger, more powerful. And so Jesus came to set us free from being virus conscious. That all we think about is how much I've sinned, and how much God must be disappointed in me, how I'm probably going to sin again, how but I'm on the improvement program, I'm a better version of me than I used to be, I don't get as mad as I often used to. He came to set us free. This is from Ephesians. So just kind of let the scriptures sink in, because it's really powerful. These are two verses from Ephesians and from Colossians. Because we know that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world, right? So the answer to the problem was before the problem ever manifested itself. The good news is not new news. It's an ancient thought, a solution before the foundation of the world. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. Think of that again. These are the things that happened before the foundation of the world. The word personalized. And we realize that the cross was personalized when you said yes to Jesus, when you believed. But they were accomplished even before the foundation of the world. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, chose us out. He didn't just choose us and say, okay, I'm choosing Chuck as the object of my love. He chose me in Christ. That was the solution. All the spiritual blessings are mine because I'm in Christ, so I have all that he has. He chose me in him before the foundation of the world, so God sees me in Christ. See, what all theology can't start with what I think about God. It's got to start with what God thinks about me. My redeemed identity revealed in Christ. And then when you begin to understand how God thinks about you in light of your being in Christ, then you get a better clue of who he is. Your thoughts about him that evolve. But he chose me in Christ, so I'm in Christ before the foundation of the world. Why? For us to be holy and without blemish before him in love. That's how God sees you. That's his attitude towards you. To Does God deal with us? Does he show us things? Yes. But if he did all that he did, if he pursued us throughout the ages, if actually it occurred even before the foundation of the world, even before the fall, if the cross has been that solution that was worked out way back before the world was ever created, and in him pursuit he came and allowed his heel to be bruised at the level it was, so set us free from this evil virus. Do you think he did all that and then blessed us with every spiritual blessing? He came, we might have life and have it more abundantly. The enemy's come to kill, steal, and destroy. God's objective is just the opposite. Do you think he did that so that we can constantly be before him and he can tell us how terrible we are? How it's frustrating with our imperfections all the time. How disappointed he is. And he pouts because he's so disappointed. No, he's always been about redemption, transformation. Setting us free. So does he talk to us about stuff? Are there things that we get convicted of? Yes. But it's never in the context of condemnation. We are holy and without blemish before him. I know that sounds wild. How can that possibly be? Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 7 says, we were without spot or blemish. You were altogether beautiful, my love. And in you there's no spot or blemish. Because he sees me, accepts me. His attitude towards me is the attitude he has for Christ. That's my safe zone. I'm in Christ. God's not mad at Christ. He sees me in Christ. That's my redeemed humanity, revealed in Christ. Colossians says, verse 19, for it was Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him, Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross. That's where the old man was crucified. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in the heavens, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in your mind because of you were in evil deeds, formerly alienated and hostile, there is no alienation or hostility between me and God. In Christ, I am before him in love. It's his love. He loves me like he loves Jesus. Holy, without blemish. See, if you begin to understand your identity, you begin to act out of your true identity. Instead of living with a sin consciousness and living out of that identity. It says, whether things in the earth or things in the heavens, although you were formerly alienated, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through the cross, through the crucifixion of the old man, resurrection of the new in Christ, through death, in order to present you before him holy, without blemish, and beyond blame. Or beyond reproach. The word blemish here, it's a cool thing, this word without blemish, in Ephesians 1 and here, is a word that comes from a plant in the Far East. It's a scented plant, has a spice, a beautiful smell. God says, before me, there's no stench of sin when you're before me. You're a sweet smelling fragrance to me because you're in Christ. God's always calling forth the new creation. He's always reminding me of my new identity. He's always calling that forth because I'll be that. If you just think you're a loser and you're just a sinner and you're just going to keep sinning, you know what's going to happen? You live by faith. If that's what you have faith in, that's what's going to happen. If you understand who you are before him, without blemish, beyond reproach, because of Christ, chosen in him, holy. That's why he can say in 1 Peter, there go be holy, even if your father is holy, because you're in union with Christ. That's who you are, now go be that. Am I ever saying that it's impossible for us to sin? That it's possible for us, not possible for us to sin, though. I'm just saying it's possible for us not to sin. We're in Christ. And that's the person God sees who are before him. That's the person he celebrates, without blemish, holy before him in love, beyond reproach, like a sweet smelling plant. You may get frustrated with yourself and get down on yourself, get disgusted with yourself, but God never does. He believes in what he's done in you. He believes in his finished work. He believed it before you would ever believe it, before anyone ever believed it. He believed it. He believed it before the foundation of the world. He wants us to believe who we are in Christ. And who we are in Christ is not just what we're capable of doing by the adequacy of the Lord Jesus who lives in me, not just by walking out moment by moment, experiencing him as my life, as my victory, but also experiencing his relationship with the Father and the disposition that the Father has in his presence towards Christ is the disposition, the attitude the Father has when I'm in his presence toward me. I didn't earn it. He did. And the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.